With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, our hymns are 675, 605, 748, and 965. Pastor Mark Bell is our pastor today, while Ron Baker is a console of the organ. Welcome, and our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing hymn number 675, Oh What Their Joy, 675 in the Lutheran hymn.
Good morning. Welcome to Christian Worship at Emmanuel. I am Pastor Mark Neville. I am an instructor at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia. I have been with you a few times back in the spring. Now I am with you as your vacancy pastor. So I'll be with you for the foreseeable future. Today we gather together and join in our opening hymn. It is hymn 675, Oh What Their Joy. Hymn 675 will stand for the last stanza. On this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, we join in Divine Service Setting 2. It begins for us on page 184 of our hymnals, or you may follow along in your service folder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with our service of the Word, speaking responsively the intro. It is printed in your service folder. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord.
He is their help and their shield.
Why should the nation say,
"Where is their God?"
Our God is in the heavens.
He has all that he pleases.
Their idols are silver and gold.
The work of human hands.
Those who make them become like them.
So we all trust in him.
The dead do not praise the Lord,
nor do they remain in silence.
But we will bless the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord.
He is their help and shield.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray the collect of the day. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and to live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the third chapter of the book of Exodus. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the second chapter of Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians in the New Testament. "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way.
And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of our Lord. We stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We do invite the children to come forward for the children's message. As they do so, we sing hymn 605, Father Welcomes, stanza 1.
How is everybody today? Good? Do you like the cold weather?
No.
No, me neither.
What do you do?
Oh, not me. Well, I have a fun fact to tell you. Did you know that your tongue has around 10,000 taste buds on it?
Yeah.
10,000 taste buds. Do you know what taste buds are?
Yeah.
What are taste buds, Eli?
Stuff that helps you taste.
You're right. It's the things that help you taste. Have you ever looked at your tongue before? No, you've never stuck your tongue out in the mirror and looked at it before? Yeah? Well, you have little bumps on your tongue. And those little bumps on your tongue are taste buds. And you have around 10,000 of them. That's a lot, right? Well, what do those taste buds help you to do? Eli said they help you taste food, right? Do they help you taste the sweet ice cream and the salty French fries? And if we didn't have taste buds, would food taste as good? No, chocolate wouldn't taste good. Pizza wouldn't taste good. Well, the Bible tells us our tongues do much more than just taste food. Any idea what that might be? Yeah, they help us to drink. You're right. Our tongues also, our death and life are in the power of our tongue. What do you think that means? Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Any idea? Whenever somebody says mean words to you, like, I don't like you, or you're dumb, or I'm better than you, how do those things make you feel? How do they make you feel, Charlotte? They make you feel sad. That's right. That's how our tongues can speak death. But how do you think our tongues can speak life? What could somebody say to you? Keaton?
Thank you.
They could say thank you. What else might somebody say? Myra?
By being kind
to you, Charlotte. Maybe saying you're awesome, saying words that make you feel good, right? Eli? You're welcome. You're right. All of those are loving words that bring people to life, and they please God. When you say, thank you, good job, I love you, or I forgive you, those are all great ways to use the power of our tongue to bring life to others. So do you think that you can get good at using loving words? Can we pray to God? Yes. And can we talk nicely to people? Yes, we can. So I want you guys to be good sons and daughters and cousins and friends and classmates. And I want you to share life with your tongue. You think you can do that? Yeah, I know you can. Will you fold your hands and pray with me? Repeat after me, okay? Dear God, help us to share life with our tongues. Amen. You guys can grab some candy as you head back.
Thank you.
mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation comes from our gospel reading, Luke chapter 20, looking particularly at verses 37 and 38. Jesus says, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." If we ask the wrong question, we will get the wrong answer. But in our gospel reading, the wrong question is asked, and the right answer is given. But that is the way it is when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we are wrong, he is right for us. He is just the Savior that we need. For example, when we wonder about death, Jesus gives to us his answer of life. Life in his name now, and life in his presence forever. This is the only time that the writer Luke mentions the Sadducees in his gospel. The Sadducees are an elite Jewish religious party. They are the ones who controlled the temple worship and all the money that it brought in. They accepted only the five books of Moses in the Old Testament, and they did not accept the existence of angels or that there is a resurrection from the dead. We see in this text that they try to trick Jesus. They are wanting to trap him with a ridiculous question concerning the Old Testament practice of levirate marriage. This is where a man has a son with the widow of his deceased older brother, or perhaps nearest male relative, in order to carry on that man's name and the family property. The Sadducees asked Jesus, "What if a woman went through seven brothers this way? Whose wife would she be in the resurrection?" Now, if they had asked me this question, I would have said, first of all, don't eat her cooking. Next, I would say that the police had better investigate her, because she is probably piling up a lot of life insurance money. Well, of course, I'm being a little silly here. But Jesus thinks that this question is silly also. For he says marriage is a relationship for our life in this world, not for the resurrection to eternal life. And he says, for example, angels don't marry. And in resurrected life, where the glorious saints do not die, there is no need to reproduce life as marriage does. Well, the Sadducees in our passage, they really don't care about the resurrection. They don't believe in it. And so their question is a gotcha moment. They want to make Jesus look bad in front of his followers. They want to put a dent in Jesus' popularity among the people. But as we see, that does not work. 2,000 years later, our culture continues in its attempt to make the Lord of life look bad by our focus upon our enemy, death. Politicians consider it progressive to legalize abortion up to the point of a baby's birth, even allowing for the murder of a newborn child. It is easy for them to promote the killing of the unborn. They already have life, and they don't care if anyone else gets to have it. When we allow such violence against the most defenseless among us, it should not then surprise us that we have a violent society. Our murder rate in our nation is very high. The neighborhoods in our major cities have become battlefields. People kill others just as soon as they would look at them. You drive on the highway, a driver gets cut off, it turns to a road rage incident, and someone gets killed because there is little or no respect for life in our culture. Having a preoccupation with death, some want even to contact the dead. They will use the devil's tools, and they will ask for his power in an attempt to talk with the spirits of the dead. As our age advances, as our illnesses increase, as our strength slips away, the culture around us responds with death as being the answer. If a person's supposed worth to society has ended or their quality of life has lessened, some believe that a government bureaucrat should be able to make a decision to end that person's life. Well, Jesus responds to the Sadducees' question with the answer of life. They brought up Moses. So Jesus reminds them of God's call to Moses. It is the account of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. God introduces himself to Moses as being the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Well, these ancient patriarchs have been dead for hundreds of years at that time. How could he be their God if they are not living? But God is the God of the living. So these physically dead faithful must still be living with the Lord for him to be their God. Human relationships are for this life, and they do end with our death. But the relationship that we have with God and with his people is one that lasts for eternity. The family connections we have of this world will be replaced by the even more important family of faith that we are in as brothers and sisters in Christ. Death cannot break a believer's relationship with the living God. Life continues with God while we await our body's resurrection. Yes, we do see death in this world, but God gives us a life that does not end in death. This is the work of his eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lived our human life in order to suffer the punishment of our eternal death and to give us eternal life after our own human death. Jesus answers the problem of our sin with his sacrifice upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus answers the reality of our death with the victory of his resurrection from the dead. Jesus answers the accusations of our enemy, the devil, with his loving claim upon us as being the chosen children of our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul describes our daily Christian life in Romans chapter 14. He says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord." Either way, we belong to our loving Lord in a living way. For now, in his name, and forever in his glory. We live in a culture of death that is preoccupied with it, that is focused upon it, that is fascinated by it, and that ultimately is also afraid of it. We are the people, though, of a living God, empowered for eternal life through the victorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate life. Life is God's creation. We recognize life. Life is God's gift. And we defend life. Life is God's blessing. And we live a life in Jesus Christ that has no end, for it continues on with him in that everlasting home that he is even now preparing for us. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the common confession of our Christian faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are printed for us on page 175 of our hymnals or the inside back cover. We stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In our prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder. We add to that list Alan and Sandy Bamer as they celebrate their 54th wedding anniversary this coming week on November 13th. And we add David Bradyhoff to those who need help and healing as he is hospitalized. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God and Father, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to overcome the world for us through his cross and resurrection. Grant us grace and peace in him, that whatever troubles, tribulations, and temptations afflict us in this world of sin and sorrow, we may never forget you or forsake you. Rather, strengthen us by your grace, that we may bear our crosses in patience, and trust, and remain faithful in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord God, you have built your church and called us to hold fast to the word of life in the midst of a crooked and twisted world. Preserve us from all grumbling, rivalry, and conceit, and sustain us in humble and devout faith until the day of Christ. Grant that everything we do in thought, speech, and action would bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Grant to us, Heavenly Father, those good works that flow from faith in your precious Son. Bless all gospel ministry and outreach with your word into all the world. As we remember those working in missionaries, Reverend Peter and Christy in Thailand, Pastor Jim and Bonnie with Mission of Christ Network, and Reverend David and Valerie with Lutheran Bible Translators. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayers. O Lord, we ought always to be thankful for your rich and abundant blessings to us and to our country. Bless our President, the Congress of these United States, our Governor, our legislators, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Protect and defend those who protect and defend us as members of our nation's military, including McKenna and Drake, as law enforcement officers, firefighters, emergency responders, and healthcare professionals. Deliver us from threats of violence and teach us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, of all life and love, we join with Alan and Sandy, their family members and other friends, in thanking you for your many blessings to them over these 54 years of their married life. We are grateful for their earthly example of that great relationship our Lord Jesus Christ, the groom, has with us, his bride, the church. We pray that as you have blessed Alan and Sandy in the past, that you would continue to guide and keep them in this new year of their life to come, in peace and prosperity and health and happiness and in a shared faith and forgiveness in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, the physical and mental ills with which your people struggle are not beyond your power or grace. Bless the sick with healing according to your will. Bless the suffering with relief. Bless the grieving with comfort. And bless the dying with peace. Especially do we name before you Phyllis, Stanley, Evelyn, Nolan, Henry, Mary, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Marion, Diane, Gail, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Brooke, Elliot, David, and Archie and Gary in their grief and loss. We place in your care and keeping also Millen, Brandy, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, and those who we remember before you by name in the silence of our hearts. We trust in your good and gracious will to grant us all things needful for this body and life, and to keep us amid all these afflictions. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of all creation, we have witnessed the power of this rebellious world's weather as Hurricane Melissa ripped through the islands of the Caribbean Sea. We pray for those who mourn losses, the lives of their loved ones, damage to their property, the loss of their livelihood. We pray for your people to be generous in our aid, as your ways provide for these people in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all creation, locally we have witnessed your blessings in the abundance of this harvest season. We pray for equipment that is dependable, for strength that is sufficient for safety that is enjoyed, and for weather that is favorable, for crops to be gathered and livestock to be tended. Lord, in your mercy, great God of power and might, our nation will take time this week to recognize, remember, and rejoice in those who dedicated a portion of their lives to military service in defense of our country's liberty and freedom. We thank you for the dedicated service of our nation's military veterans, done in your name and for your glory, as we honor their commitment to our land as loyal Christian citizens. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and who rose again, and who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. Face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you.